brand is catching up to legacy in the mind of athletes. Watch it.
He's going to be ordering in. Can't go nowhere, especially not in Philly. Because if Meek Mill finds him, it's done.
Yes, certain things run through your mind and you say, what's really going on?
It's the future.
Down and Distance on WGNplus.com.
Yeah, everybody, it's that time again. Down and Distance on WGNplus.com. Jared Payton alongside my man, Sean Davis. Sean, what's going on, man? How you doing?
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's a lot to talk about.
What do you mean it's all good,
it's
man?
It's always all good. Chi-Town, this is what we do. Down and Distance.
This is what we do. Dads, D-A-D. Two dads talking some sports, talking life, and a little bit everything in between. That's how we do. Free agency. Man, when you talk about frenzy, I don't know if I felt a frenzy like I felt on March 10th. I mean, I'm talking about when...
Forget March 10th. It started like March the 9th.
Well,
March 8th.
It did, but I mean, just like that number, when everybody is sitting by their computers, like I wasn't at home. I wasn't by my TV. I'm so used to being at home by my TV, watching everything progress with my phone charger, like have an extension, like I have a... all the way to the wall, because on my couch, I need full battery on my iPhone all day. And I'm sitting in the office on my computer going, I'm going to rely on Twitter to watch everything that's going on. A little bit difficult nowadays. You got to check your sources. How many followers do these people have that are saying that this person is going to be going here or could be going here? Just a little bit different. And you have to kind of watch out the information that you put out there. I had people coming at me like, Eddie Royal hasn't signed yet. I was like, oh man, let me change this real quick. If he comes to Chicago, he, you know, gives you that opportunity to have
now everybody's that eighth grade English teacher.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. This is Twitter. Let's have a good time with it. But I don't know if I felt a frenzy. And last year, I was on the air on JHS, the game, and we were just... it was crazy then, and I remember like going through. I felt like Ian Rappaport, like I wasn't even paying attention to what was going on. I was over here tweeting, and people, were, you know, Harry and Spike would ask me questions, and I was so focusing on trying to get the information out there. And to me, this frenzy has been great. Teams though that I look at that got better,
who impressed?
Teams that impressed me. I think Indianapolis impressed me, but you don't know what's going to happen. You can get players and put them on your roster. You don't know until you actually get out on the field and you get in practice of how it actually is going to work, and you have to gel together. That's what great teams do. They gel together and they come together for one common goal, and that's to win the Lombardi Trophy, and it doesn't always work out that way. So yeah, they look better on paper, but you don't really know. Are guys going to be able to stay healthy? We know how the game of football is. It's difficult. But from the moves that they made, yeah, I think they got better. But, yeah, you got Frank Gore. But still, have you boosted up your offensive line yet? Is that the plan now? Is that same offensive line is going to be attacked?
It's not good.
That's not good. It doesn't.
They can't protect Andrew Luck. They definitely can't protect Frank. So open up holes. So
what are you doing? So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do down the line.
They have to go offensive line in the draft.
I definitely think so. Teams that kind of I'm scratching my head about, the 49ers, what's going on? Did Jim Harbaugh know a lot of this stuff was just in the making of, you know, guys retiring to, you know, guys moving? Everything that we heard about during the year, just about that locker room and everything that was going on, that organization just started to see, like, things
didn't
are falling apart.
We talk about this? If you're going to have success, you can do it various ways. But that message from the top to the bottom has to be there.
Yeah.
What's the message that Trent Baalke is sending? I don't know what it is.
It's not.
What is he saying?
But I don't know if that's good. I mean, you have to, when we look at great organizations, especially in our hometown, you look at what the Blackhawks have done and how they've been successful over the last couple of years. I mean, they figured it out, but it starts from the top down. And
obviously, they believe in Colin Kaepernick. Rumors that he was on the trading block, none of that was verified. Of course, Trent Baalke said no, he's not on the trading block. They go out, they get Torrey Smith, supposedly the deep threat that he hasn't had.
You think they overspend?
Absolutely, they overspent for Torrey Smith. He's a good two,
but he's
not a number one receiver.
Nah, not to me. I felt like they overspent just a little bit.
Tip of the cap to Justin Smith and Patrick Willis.
You have to.
As they step away from the game and from that organization.
I think you have to. Have you ever seen anything like this in 1 year?
How many people are retiring?
Retiring, and not just retiring, they're retiring early. Like,
this is the effects of them watching how the NFL has dealt with NFL players in the past. And they're looking at this and they're saying, is this game worth it? Everybody else looks at us as gladiators in the middle of the Coliseum. You know what? We have more self-respect.
Patrick Willis is a phenomenal athlete, but to me it seems like even a phenomenal man. To hear his reasoning of kind of stepping away from the game from other things that he wants to do and in his community and giving back in his service, to me, you do have to tip your cap to that. And everybody on the outside looks and goes, dude, you're one of the best players in the NFL. You're stepping away? I mean, Jake Locker, young, 20 still. Like,
that shocked me.
Young.
That shocked me.
Like, I'm just going to step away from the game.
But once again, you don't know what it takes to get on that football field each and every week.
People
have no idea.
I really don't think they do
know. The physical attrition that the players go through and then what they have to go through to rehabilitate themselves to be able to play at a high level.
Sean.
It's crazy.
You bring up a great point. It's very, very difficult to get yourself mentally and physically prepared for an entire football season. I mean, and to be able to do it and not injure yourself in the process from doing all the workouts and everything else. I mean, it's very calculated, and it does take a lot to be able to be at the top level and top form to be able to play in the NFL with some of the best athletes in the world. So when I'm seeing guys step away from the game early, there's something going on. I mean, multiple. I haven't seen it in a long time. And for me to sit back and see how, you know, I'm like, man, Jake Locker is young. Remember, I called you and I was like, how old is he?
26.
And we looked at his age and going,
he's 26.
Very, very young to step
away
from the
game. Think about it. Good looking kid, smart, ties to the Pac-12. He could have a job in studio, college football, waiting on him right now. And he thinks about it. That's good money.
Really, really good money. You're looking at Tebow, man, Tebow has progressed.
Absolutely.
And gotten better. But what he means to the SEC, when ESPN was launching the whole entire, I mean, it was perfect for
brand.
Him to beat. Brand.
And this brand is catching up to legacy in the mind of athletes. Watch it.
I think it really is.
Watch it. 5 years from now, you'll have rookies coming into the league more worried about their brand than their legacy.
We're seeing it now. I don't know if I always talk about this morning, just looking at some of my tweets of a post that I posted the other day, a video of my dad, and legacy was the hashtag that I started seeing comment in like every other couple of tweets. You don't really hear legacy anymore. Everybody talks about your brand.
Your brand.
And hope in the sense that your brand, if you grow it to a certain, that it will last and that that will be your legacy. So your brand can take over. But it's the new word for legacy. But more people are focused on the right now and like, what do you have? Because nowadays these TV shows, businesses, corporations, they ask you. You walk in and sit down, have big meetings. They go, well, how many Twitter followers do you have?
It's amazing because for years we heard, this is a business. And the players used to take everything personal.
Yes.
Now the players are learning. They've turned the tables. Now they take everything as business. And now the fans get upset and they start taking it personal. But for years, you told them to take it as business. Now that they're taking it as business, you have to understand, look, this is the monster you created in a way. Respect the game. They've learned their craft. They found a way not only to develop themselves and set up a foundation for their families and their lives for years to come through the game, but their brand and outside of the game. And what else would you want from somebody? Same thing you do with school. You go to school for 4 years to set up the foundation, and then you branch off and do other things in life.
Didn't even really think
this
about
is
it like
great,
that.
Great, man.
It's
the retirements are crazy.
Yeah.
The retirements and the trades, to me, usurped what happened in free agency.
We really forgot one of the big trades. Jimmy Graham going out to Seattle. Russell Wilson.
Betting favorites right now? for the Super Bowl, especially with the Pats losing Browner and Revis?
Yeah, I would have to, I'd have to say so. It's very we both know how hard it is to get back to the Super Bowl again.
I mean, NFC West just got a little bit easier for them too.
Yeah, it's still tough. I look at that as being we talked about how they still got to go out and get a receiver. That should still be a.
You think?
Yes, they still need.
I don't know.
One.
I think they're trying to go the Patriots way. Dominant tight end. Some okay receivers.
No, they need to go. I don't know if they need to go out and get one.
They might draft one.
I think that's what I mean. Go out and get one. Draft one. There's a lot of young talent.
The draft is deep.
Yeah. Go ahead and get you one. Yeah. I'm not saying go out and spend money. You're good. Get you a young receiver that can come in and be effective.
That can run a hard slant route.
Why not?
That's on the goal line.
That's what you need. Don't give up that space. Ain't no one's coming between me and this football. That's what you need to know. Dude, 1st and 10 is out the books, man. That's what we do.
Look.
What?
What the heck is Philly doing?
Oh, this is
explain
where you,
it.
This is where you want to go with second,
break
second
it down
and
to
eight?
Me.
Okay.
Chip Kelly. His system. His belief. 10 wins, first two seasons. He thinks he's doing things. One playoff appearance. I'm going to get to the Stephen A. Smith comments and how everybody is interpreting that. You know how I feel about that. If you don't understand the culture, don't try and, interpret.
Yeah, it's – I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, I know that what they're – I kind of concede now that they're trying to put pieces together, but you also have gotten rid of – basically, when you look at the production of your team, you got rid of a lot of your production.
Okay, his first year there – big plays was the major thing.
Yeah.
He gets rid of DeSean Jackson,
which
is the big play guy on that team.
Yes.
And what happens? They can't get big plays.
No. Because you don't have anybody to be able to stretch the field. So you have guys like Riley Cooper who had successful year.
Jeremy Maclin, 85 catches.
Yeah,
he had a decent season.
But he's gone.
Coming off his leg injury. Now he's – exactly.
but he's gone.
What's going on? McCoy traded to the Bills, right? Trades for Sam Bradford. Gives up Nick Foles, who he loved, but I guess Mark Sanchez's success when Nick Foles got hurt made him expendable. So now, are you happy with the flip right there? Are you cool with that, getting Sam Bradford for Nick Foles?
No, because I think that even though a lot of people are going to listen to this, and when I say this, first off, they're going to be like, what? Nick Foles is more athletic than Sam Bradford.
Safe to say.
Okay, in the sense of when you look at the offense and how he's not the fastest guy, but when you look at that offense, what Chip's trying to do, I feel that Nick Foles is a better fit. It's more of a touch offense. It's just more of a touch. You have to have a great feel, and Sam Bradford is a little bit all over the board when you talk about that area of his game. He has streaks where he can deliver the ball where it needs to, and then sometimes he's off and on, he's hot and cold. So any injuries. I mean, let's not surpass the injuries. Sean, these injuries, you haven't been able to see the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that came out of Oklahoma. You haven't really been able to see that. And I know Philly fans right now are kind of, I see them on Twitter. I laugh the entire day. When free agency started, watching Eagles fans just tweet, I was laughing. It was comical. They're like, dude, Chip Kelly, he's not coming out of his house for a while. He's going to be ordering in. He ordered his sushi, some pizzas. Can't go nowhere. Okay, especially not in Philly. Because if Meek Mill finds him, it's done.
Speaking of Philly fans, Stephen A. Smith has some poignant comments.
Chip Kelly makes decisions over the last couple of years that, dare I say, leave a few brothers feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. You can say that.
I think that's fair to say.
Right,
I mean, we're sitting there looking at some of the decisions that Chip Kelly makes, and
totally
I'm like,
agree.
I'm like, what's up with that?
I mean, it just
looks like you got to be his kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Riley Cooper's your kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. He's creating a system and a culture. He wants it to be on his terms.
I'm saying let's get beyond the system. The operative word is culture.
Yes.
The culture is what resonates with me more profoundly, because I'm looking at a Chip Kelly.
Kelly. And I'm like, really? Now, you got to remember, Skip, where did I work for 16 years? This was Philadelphia. You understand what I'm saying? I'm always in Philly. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, you got people walking the streets and hell with it. You got brothers walking the streets going like this. What's up with Chip? Well, I don't understand. I really don't understand why you do it. Now, I'm not saying I know. Mm. But I'm just going to say that it does strike me as a tad bit odd. I'm going to repeat this. Gone, LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, you know, DeSean Jackson. Staying, Riley Cooper. Mm. Really? Mm. Really?
All right, so Stephen A. Smith right there talks about his view of what Chip Kelly is doing, and DeSean Jackson gone, LeSean McCoy gone, reported displeasure within the organization about the off-the-field activities and possibly who they're connected to. Stephen A. Smith talks about culture right there, and he talks about brothers on the inner city or in the inner city of Philadelphia and how they feel, all right? If you don't have the experience that these people have, when you have a certain experience, certain things go through your mind. And when you see things like this happening, absolutely, on the inner city of Chicago, the African-American community is sitting there saying, you get rid of these guys, LeSean McCoy, you get rid of DeSean Jackson, supposedly because of their connection to certain people, but you keep somebody that openly showed displeasure for close to 60 to 70% of your locker room. And no matter what you say, no matter how cool everything supposedly is, you can't tell me when Riley Cooper walks in that locker room, some people in that locker room still don't have a problem with him being on that team. Are we really trying to say that Riley Cooper being in that locker room is cool as an organization? This is what we're thinking.
It's a great point.
So it's cool for Riley Cooper to be here, but because we grew up with these type of people, or because we go to these clubs, or we hang around these people off the field, but we produce on the field and make the team better and don't cause a problem in the locker room, there's no one hating us because of something we said about them. You're cool with that. You're cool enough with that to put that person in your calendar in the month of February, which represents Black History Month.
I did read that.
Let's just really think about it. So, of course, when Stephen A. Smith said what he said, that's absolutely what people in the inner city are thinking. It's going through their minds.
Yeah.
Whether or not they believe it, whether or not they go to the point to believe that Chip Kelly is a racist, I don't think they go to that point, but yes, certain things run through your mind and you say, what's really going on?
Well, I think as people, it just happens generally when certain things happen. We all have different perspective of how we see things. You bring up a great point, though, because I know for a fact that if I was in that locker room still,
yeah,
I forgive and forget.
Yeah.
All right? That's how I was raised.
And let's remember, it was a street guy.
Yeah.
That saved his locker room.
Yeah, it was Michael Vick.
He wouldn't get Michael Vick to save the locker room.
Yeah,
the street guy, the dog fighting guy.
Hey, put
the
stamp,
supposed thug. Put your to
stamp.
Most people.
Put your stamp of approval on this one.
Yeah, help me out.
I need this one.
But yet, and still, the street guys aren't good enough to stay on your team. They're not your type of guy.
Yeah, I've always said that being on in different locker rooms, that certain guys and what they do off the field, sometimes it does follow them, but all you could ask for as a player is that when that person comes into the locker room and comes into work, that they come to work and give 110 and 120%, and they deal with everything else that's going on the outside. I think now we look at the situations, Aaron Hernandez situation, all the other stuff that happened this past season. Now teams are a little bit more at ease and abrupt of like what's going on. They want to know everything that you're doing, who you're connected to, when that really wasn't the case, you know? And so when you talk about that and bring up the point, where are they going with that? Because on the outside looking in, it seems like that it's okay
it's
to be able
perception,
to
perception, right?
It's okay to be able to do this and say this, and then you can say sorry, and it's okay, and Riley Cooper gets off on everything else. Like, listen, you're good. You're still here. But the associations of guys that were in your locker room or who they hang out with, well, we can't, you know what, it's not good for the ball club. Well, you know, I had a moment because I was on the golf course when I heard the Riley Cooper comments, the video. I was about to press send on something, and I'm so glad that I never pressed send on it because I was upset at that moment.
Because it takes you somewhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, how do you, I see Philly fans, I know, are very, very passionate.
Very passionate.
And they just, they want the best.
Sorry about the 76ers, by the way, Philly fans.
Yeah, we, you know, go get a cheesesteak, man. Y'all winning on that category.
They have the Sixers, we have the Cubs. No, I'm just
playing. Hey, don't say that, man. Don't say that. All right, man, we're going to go third and short. Ryan Pace, John Fox, the presser the other day. Your take on just kind of them together. I mean, to see them behind the mics together, standing side by side. Was there anything that jumped out to you that was kind of, they just say that? Because I know there was something for me.
Not really. For you, maybe. But the one thing that stood out is that they're together.
Yes, they are together.
And there's a clear message. And they're trying to get that to run through the locker room. Top to bottom. We're talking about recipe for success. They're stirring it up. They're getting it going. It's on the pot, warming up and cooking. And now we have to see if the stew comes out the way they want it to come out.
Okay. So are the Bears becoming what you said to me a little bit over a year ago? Are they becoming the Patriots of the Midwest?
Stop trying to be somebody else.
Are they?
Get your plan and do it. I think the Eddie Royal signing is a clear sign that that's more – well, actually, it could be the Patriots, but I think that's more New Orleans than New England.
Okay.
Because New Orleans loves – they have the one big body receiver, which was Colston.
Yeah.
And then they went and got smaller guys.
Yeah, that's true.
For Drew Brees.
That's more of
that. So that's more along the lines of what New Orleans did.
But I meant more in the sense of that guys are fitting system, not – I mean, what they're trying to do in that sense of – you know, you look at the Patriots, and yeah, they plug guys in that are the best fit for what they're trying to do, and they've won. I'm not a Patriot fan. I don't want to give them props at all. I'll just tell you that. Since 85, I've never given them props at all. I have a hard time giving Tom Brady props. I have to every once in a while. But I look at what they're doing, and they find guys that fit their system, and they come in and they find ways to be able to win. So I look at the Bears, and I think, what about the McPhee signing? Does that seem like more of if we're going down to get a guy? Because a lot of people,
the McPhee signing to me, based upon his youth, his ability, his flexibility within the Vic Fangio scheme,
his versatility is going to be ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a good signing, and it wasn't overspending.
No,
in my opinion.
But a lot of people
only
thought
$16 million guaranteed.
A lot of people thought it was going to be that he was one of those guys that was out there on the market that was going to be overpaid. But I don't know if you overpaid for a guy like you said that could be in the 3-4. He can play that linebacker position. And then also too, we talked about just the transition of where the Bears are going. We know it's that 3-4. You might see splashes of a 4-3 just as you're trying to figure this whole thing out. As of right now, the draft hasn't even happened yet. But he can also be that DN if you need him to. And I also told you that he could play the 5 technique if needed. So he gives you that versatility where he can go up and down the defensive line, where to me, that's better than just having a guy like, okay, you're just this in this system. Now you have that, you know, like he said, he's a violent guy. That got a lot of play, yes, got a lot of play the other day.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He does get to the quarterback.
He does.
He loves, and he pressures the quarterback from the edge, A-gap.
Where you need him, wherever you need him to. He's a violent guy.
Now, the one thing that also stood out is that he wanted to avoid the Brandon Marshall comments and conversation. That's fine.
Rightfully so.
Jay Cutler, name the starter.
Ah, that's it.
There you go.
Hold up. That's it. That was the one thing that jumped out to me. Just, it was a little awkward. That awkward moment when you're like, you know, well, you're sitting with your lady. And, you know, you were dating back in the day and someone came up to you. You thought you were going to the movies, but she thought that you were going, y'all were going out to eat, like candlelight, nice dinner. And someone comes to you and asks you the question, like, where are y'all going? One person said movies, one says dinner. And you're like, whoa, look at each other, like, what's going on? Pace was very adamant that Jay Cutler is our guy. John Fox was more like, we have a roster. We're going to let it see how the roster plays out.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now what it really was, okay?
Yeah, what really was.
Them and Jay Cutler. Talking about Pace and Fox and Jay Cutler. That relationship is more like being at home late on a Friday night and you're hungry. It's nothing in the refrigerator, but there's really no good eating spots around your house. and you don't want to have to drive a long way to get something good to eat.
So what do you
and
do?
The only thing open is White Castles.
Not the,
you really don't want it.
Not the sliders.
But you're hungry.
Not the sliders.
And you know you're going to pay for it later down the line.
Next morning.
But you go ahead and do it. It's like they know.
They knew.
You know what? We're probably going to end up paying for this down the line. We really had no choice.
You have to stay with him. Listen, if he's going to be there for a year and you're going to keep him around, then you got to have his back. And that's the only way that you can do it from their standpoint. I get it. I mean, it's a tough deal. I don't know if I believe that there was no talks about moving him. Ryan Pace was.
They tried to say that.
I don't know if I can believe that. I really don't. That's the only thing.
I still think there will be talks leading up to the draft.
Yeah, I like the fact that it seems that there, you hear the voices of Ryan Pace. He says that, listen, this is a decision that not just us two, but as a group.
I'm tired of hearing this.
Group.
And John Fox said it, and I almost wanted to throw a chair through the TV.
What was
I'm
it?
Tired of hearing about Jay Cutler's skill set. I don't want to hear about that.
I don't
want to hear about his skill set. It doesn't matter.
You won't hear that from
Ryan
me.
Leaf had a great skill set.
Where's he at? In jail? He's on probation.
No, he's actually coaching football now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Sorry.
But the thing is, your skill set means nothing if you can't, one, protect the ball.
Yes.
Two, pre-snap read.
Uh-oh.
Three, make the right decision.
Oh, no. He has a hard time with those
three. He can't do either of those three things that are paramount when it comes to quarterbacking in the NFL.
He's got
not at an elite level.
No,
just at a basic level.
Yeah. Everybody feels like they can fix. Everybody feels like they can be that person that can fix Jay. I don't know if it's possible. You've heard me say it before, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if it's possible. But we'll have to see. We're
going
to have
to keep going to the gas station buying Fix-It Flat. Just buy a new tire.
Just buy a new tire.
Just buy a new tire.
You know?
Let's go. If you want to get Mariota, if you have to get him, get him. If he's there, get him.
Man, that might.
Get him.
You just put a smile on my face.
If Mariota's at 7, get him. No one in Chicago will be upset.
No. I'm still trying to figure out what kind of pro he's going to be.
Mariota?
Yeah, it's tough. It's like his system.
He can't be any worse than Jay.
No, I know. I'm just saying, how good can he be? Because he's a smart kid, and can he?
I'm worried about, we just talked about the three things. I'm worried about his pre-snap read.
But I feel like he can get
coming from a system because he's smart.
He's smart. He can learn.
He probably
that.
Can get it.
I believe he can. But that's one thing that gets me is that he's not
his decision making, because he comes from an offense where he has multiple options and he has to read, especially with the option read, he has to make the right decision.
Yeah,
I think he's pretty good in that area.
So you'd be hoping that he would be more of a Russell Wilson, like you would hope that's how he would progress.
And he's pretty good at protecting the ball.
He is. He is. Especially last year, he was better. I think he had his best numbers when you're talking about not giving the ball away to the other team. So that right there is huge. Yo, it's that time.
Fourth and goal.
Fourth and goal, man. I'm going to let you handle this one.
You know, everybody, the SAE scandal out there in Oklahoma.
Eric
Stryker, the defensive end for Oklahoma, had a powerful rant. And unfortunately, we can't post that.
Nah.
It was laced with profanity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anybody to really listen to it.
No.
They also lost a 4-star recruit the next day who called Bob Stoops and informed him after learning about the story that he wouldn't be attending and showing up for spring ball. So, not spring ball, but fall practices.
Yeah.
When it was time to report. So, with all of that being said, one of the major things moving forward, if your child has been contacted by Oklahoma, the firestorm that's been started, how big is it for Bob Stoops? And if you're a parent in that position, your child has been contacted. It doesn't make a difference if you're African-American, Caucasian. It doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you have character and you believe in equality for all, and you see this situation and your child's being recruited by Bob Stoops and their staff, how much of an effect does it have on whether or not you want your child to even think about going to Oklahoma?
It would be a big deal. And just to see that, and if I was a parent and seeing that video, it would change my mind if Oklahoma was at the top of the list of where, you know, my son or daughter was going to play sports. And I would have to look elsewhere. And it, it'd be hard to say that I would, because Bob Stoops is in a tough position.
He is.
He's in a tough position, you know? So he could be a nice guy or the greatest guy, but it's also about the community. And, you know, you're, as a parent, we'd be giving up our kids to a university, to a head coach in whatever sport that they play, saying, listen, I'm not going to be able to be there all the time. So you are going to be basically the parents for my child. I'm trusting you with making sure that they're okay, their well-being. And that's the one thing that I know Butch Davis said when he came into my house. And a big reason why my dad was like, I like this guy. You can go play for him. And so it would make me take a look. And I don't know if I would feel comfortable with my son or daughter going to Oklahoma after I saw that, because it's more to me. I'm so about community. I want them to get the best diverse, you know, like I want them to step on campus and not just be with their teammates. I want them to go get involved,
to be exposed to things they've never been exposed to. Absolutely,
get exposure to different cultures and go to, you know, all these different events. There's so much that you can do at school. I don't want you to ever feel like you have to close off to a certain amount of people because you don't know, you know, already preconceived before you even get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want you to go to school open-minded. I don't want you to step on, because as a parent, if they're seeing this already, you step on campus already going, well, you know, I can't go see what the fraternities are about.
Yeah. I think the biggest task for Coach Stoops is inside that locker room. I think he has to entrust the recruiting and the recruits to his assistant coaches right now. But because of this experience, you have players in that locker room that are now looking across the room to other players that might be in that particular fraternity or connected to other fraternities on campus. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah. So there is some love and unity that needs to be grown and reestablished inside the locker room.
Yeah.
Leadership has to come forth. Whoever the leadership is, you have Eric Stryker going on a rant the way he went on a rant. And this is a guy that's a first-round projected pick next year for them at defensive end. Great player.
You talked about throwing it out to your assistant coaches. They have influence, but the biggest influence
is definitely Bob Stoops.
No, not even just Bob Stoops. Okay. Yeah, he's over everything. But when these recruits are coming to school, they're spending time with these players. So you better, you got to figure out what you're talking about is right. Yeah. There has to be some type of figuring it out in that locker room, because when those kids are coming from those schools and coming in, they're going out with those players.
And they're saying, man, what is it really like?
And they're asking them.
Tell me more. And
more than likely, even me, I had Adrian Peterson on my recruiting trip.
Bing.
I told him, I said, listen, tell me honestly.
Right now.
Honestly, what's going on? I'm not coming here. I said, we're honest. Now we can go have fun.
Right.
These kids are honest. And they not only are they going there, but they're going out to other places. They're going to meet students. So they're getting to understand. As a community, they have to come together and figure something out, because you're going to be losing a lot on a lot of talent, a lot of great things that could be happening for
that
program.
Bob Stoops was already on the hot seat.
This right here
might be tough to recover from.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Because they're all about winning up there down there in Oklahoma.
I don't think even easing up off the brakes can get him back under control. This is a true spin out right here.
Well, this is a true spin out, and we're going to see over time how everything comes together. But you said it. They got to come together in that locker room. They got to come together as a community. They got to figure it out. Because, I mean, it is the way of the world, and things like this happen. It's how do they bounce back from this? Because we're going to be able to see it. We're on the outside looking in. We'll be able to watch and see how this thing progresses over time. But it's not going to be easy.
D1 scholarship is a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially to a university like Oklahoma. But I don't know how you can look your child in the face and say, just don't even think about that.
It's tough, man.
It's tough.
Hey, we appreciate you guys for checking us out. Down and Distance, Jared Payton, Sean Davis on WGNplus.com. We'll be back next week with more topics. If you got any topics, man, just send them to us on Twitter @PaytonSun, PaytonSun, and
Sean M. Davis 1 on Twitter.
That's how we do it. We were here, but now we're gone. Peace.